you would, please. And I'm preaching through Romans with the Teens of Faith, but wanted to, in some ways, just continue that series, but focus on just a couple verses here. We spent a couple time on a couple verses this morning in class, but also wanted to continue up through verse 5 as well. And just after the week like yesterday, it's almost like sometimes you come off a mountaintop experience and you immediately hit what you see as tribulations, what you might see. And to us, it might not seem like a big deal, but sometimes tribulations don't look like martyrdom. Tribulations look like smaller things than sometimes we use the word and think it's a really big deal. And overlook some of these smaller things that might be tribulations. But Romans 5, I want to kind of look at some a practical take on this now. So we'll read the first 5 verses and then get into this. Therefore, the Bible says in verse 1, being justified by faith, after having explained salvation and justification of that, he says, okay, therefore being justified by faith, we not only get heaven, but look, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, it's like, but wait, there's more. We also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Man, with our salvation, we have peace. We have access into the throne room. We have hope of the glory. We can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we can glory in tribulation also. How and why? Well, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And then patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that as young people come home from camp and as they try to drive home some of these decisions that they made at camp, it's not the decision you make, but it's the decision you keep that makes a difference. And so I pray they go home and they face what will be tribulations in their lives. And the same is true for each Christian. And every time we hear the word of God and are confronted by it, we in some ways should make some kind of decision. And then throughout the day we face some kind of tribulation, some kind of opposition to that truth that we know we should be living out in our lives. And so I pray that this is an encouragement to those that even weren't at camp last week and those that have lived their lives and tried to do right for decades and decades. And I pray that you'll bless every single one of us as we just try to draw closer to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. There's days like yesterday and the week like last week that we had that it's like, man, the decisions start pouring in. And like I said, it's not the decision you keep. It's not the decision you make, but it's the decision you keep that makes the difference. And so Saturday is like when the rubber meets the road and you're actually trying to go somewhere while you're at camp and you're away from the bad influences. But man, you get home and the people that were not at camp are now back into your life and they haven't gone through the same things that the teenagers have gone through. And the friends that didn't go to camp might not have the same zeal for God. And the trash that's on the TV is still there, and where you used to be addicted to that and had a passion for that, it's like God spoke to you, and it touched a part of your soul, young people, that said, I don't want that anymore, and I don't need that anymore in my life, and yet it's there staring you in the face. And the people in your life aren't as excited about camp as you, and they're not as excited about the Word of God as you, and your computer is sitting there, and you're back to your phone, and you're back to everyday life. And you start to think, man, that stuff at camp was so fun, but maybe I was just getting emotional. And already we're only a day removed from camp, and you're wondering, did I really mean it? And now it's kind of hard to stick to these things. And this is the same for every Christian who's made some kind of monumental decision in your life where there's this moment where you say, I really like the TV, and I remember when I was at camp that God spoke to me, and yes, it felt so right in the moment, but now I'm back to real life, and camp isn't real life. And the Bible stuff that was there, it seemed real, and God seemed to be speaking to you, but was it really real? And the strongest of Christians in here are the ones who push through that doubt and realize, look, this has to be personal, and this has to be life-changing, and this can't just be a one-time decision. But when I tell God I want to do something, then I want to struggle through every one of these struggles. And in some ways, this aspect of the struggle itself is making me stronger as a Christian. This aspect of actually meeting the world face on and sometimes caving, but getting back on my feet and pushing through those struggles, I think God has something even in those moments of struggle that he's trying to teach you. And I think God has something that when you're faced with those temptations, then there's going to be the resistance from the world. There's going to be resistance from the flesh. And there's going to be resistance from the devil that's saying, you know, just forget it. Forget the Bible. It was good for you at camp, and it meant something back then, but now you're back to real life. When I was a young person, I was pretty carefree, just wanted to have fun, and I was in it for a lot of good memories and enjoyed it, and preaching on tribulation would come. And I would think, you know, I don't really have a lot of tribulations. And in some ways, I would hear this, and it was like, I can't really think about a lot of tribulations I have. I'm not a martyr for my faith or anything. I'm living in California. This is my favorite state of the union. I've traveled to over 30 states, I think, and seen so many parts of our country and even parts of the world. It's like I'd rather not live anywhere else except Temecula. And it's like I have such a wonderful life and a wonderful family, and I'm having so much fun, and I was just enjoying my high school experience, and I was drawing close to God, and it was like, boy, this is good. But in some ways, the more that I've lived and the more I've seen and the more stories out there and the more that I even look back on my life, I realize, look, tribulations aren't even always those big struggles that are out there, those once-in-a-lifetime big scary things like you hear the word cancer and you think, oh, that's a tribulation. And you hear of a job loss, or you hear of a career change, or you hear of a death in the family, and you think, that's a tribulation. But tribulations can be a lot smaller deals than that, too. They can be the everyday resistance of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And everyone in here faces some kind of tribulation. For little kids, the tribulation might be different from what it is from somebody who's been saved 30 or 40 years. But if Christianity is a personal thing, and you are a child of the King and a child of the Father, in some ways he promises that in your life there will be tribulations. And as you name the name of Christ, this personal relationship with Jesus Christ will bring you through those tribulations. And for the young people, it might be their public school that they have to go back to and the influences that will be there. And it might be something that they'll have to face. And for some, I just ache for the tribulations you have to go through. Sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's in your family, and sometimes it's not. But it's like, boy, sometimes the tribulation can come through, I'm thankful for the good father figures in here, but maybe a tribulation for some in here might have been a father figure. And you've been hearing the word of God, and you think you know that this is what God wants for me. But it's like, boy, my dad said this, and my mom said this, and they're kind of holding me back, and they're not too excited about that. And I want to move this way, but it seems like I'm being held back even by my own family, and that hurts, and that is hard for me to take. And it's in some ways, God has given me a direction in my life, and sometimes the resistance can come through immediate family. In some ways, that's the hardest ones to get over. For some, it might be just the insecurity of your home, and there's not a godly authority there. And I hurt for those that are going through that kind of a pain. And that the spectrum of that kind of a resistance might be different for all of us. But the answer, in some ways, is still the same. I had a Bible college professor who grew up, I believe, in a drunkard's home. And he said, I made the decision one day, and he walked over to the whiteboard and he took off the cap of his marker and he just drew a line on the whiteboard right there, a real thick, heavy black line. And he put the cap on the marker and dropped the marker down. And he said, I just decided that it stops here. And my grandpa was like this and my dad was like this. But as the family tree goes on, I've made a decision that it stops here, and I'm drawing a line, and it'll be different with me. I'm going to follow God, whether my mom or my dad or my grandpa have or not. It's like I'm drawing a line and I'm making decisions because I'm a child of the King. I have what the theological term is, individual soul liberty, that I am an individual before God. My parents won't answer for my actions before God. I will. And so he said, I'm going to draw a line and it's going to stop with me. And I'm not going to be able to make excuses about the tribulations in my life. My salvation is up to me, and this was offered to me, and it's a personal relationship with God. And so even if my public school is grating on my spirit, even if my family itself is grating on my spirit, I'm taking a stand for Jesus Christ, and if the tribulations come, I'm going to almost see it like a badge of honor. Like, God, thank you for strengthening me through this. God, thank you for giving me something that I can stand for you in. I don't want the easy life. I want to make a stand. I want to draw the line, and I want things to stop with me and start afresh from this day on. And in some ways, camp is those times where we remove ourselves from the world. We remove ourselves, we can say, from the tribulations. There are still some at camp, but I'm talking about removing yourselves as best you can and isolating yourself and insulating yourself from the world and the flesh and the devil for a week and just focusing on the Word of God and helping young people come to the decision where it's like, look, you need to draw a line in the sand. You need to make some decisions that you say, this will be a lifelong decision for me. I'm not going to relate it to, I mean, I'm not going to allow anybody else to hurt that or to challenge that or to fight that. God, if you've made it clear to me, then I'm going to stand for you. But man, when public school comes around again, it's lonely being the only one standing for Christ. It's like I made those decisions at camp, but here's where it's really put to the test. And I made those decisions under the Word of God, but boy, I'm the only Christian now. And I'm like the only one that goes to church, and the friends that say they go to church, it's like we're on the sports teams together, and they cuss every time they mess up, and their mouths are filthy, and their jokes are filthy, and they talk about the scenes of the movie, and they laugh silently, and they don't want the teachers to hear their conversations, and it's like, they're Christians? How is this? And they talk about this, and they go to the same parties as me. But I've chosen them to draw this line, and it stops with me. But boy, it gets hard. You know, you have to realize I have the same salvation as anybody else. And I have the same backing as anybody else. But man, there's these people that are hurting. I don't know what's been in your past. You might see your tribulation. You might see the thing that's grating against your spirit. You might see it as something that you can never overcome, or you think it's debilitating to you, actually. Like, if this hadn't happened in my life, then I would be a good Christian. And if I didn't have these people in my life, then I could be a solid Christian. And if I could only get past the tribulation, God, will you remove tribulations from my life? And it's almost like that's our prayer many times. And sometimes God leaves those in there on purpose. For us to draw those lines and learn to hold to those lines. And man, if my parents just hadn't been divorced and ripped my family apart, and I'm talking about pains that go so deep into your soul that for some of you, you've lived with that for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And it's been something you feel like, oh, this tribulation has hurt me. And I'll never get over this. Let me encourage you with this. This tribulation that's in your life can be something that actually God uses to turn into something great. I'm not saying he caused the tribulation, but I'm saying he can use the tribulation to work something in you that is a spiritual muscle that you'll have that nobody else will have. I'm talking about young people that are drawing a line in the sand and saying, despite the hurt, despite the pain, I'm choosing to move forward. My salvation is personal. My walk with God is personal, and I'm thankful for what God has given to me. Like I said, in high school, I didn't remember going through any of those big, huge pains. But I guess looking back, my tribulations were somewhat different. They weren't the big, huge things, but I'm talking about, boy, there were some times that I felt like I was the only young person that even had a heart for God. And I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm just saying it gets lonely when you do go to camp and you hear the same preaching year after year, and you come home on fire for God and you say, God, I want to dedicate my life to you, and it's like you're storming ahead, and then you look back and realize there's nobody with me anymore. And everybody that was with me kind of stayed in the background. And they're not as fired up about it as much as I am. And it gets kind of lonely out there. And sometimes it doesn't even make sense why you're doing this. And you forget the reasoning. And you forget in the night what God showed you in the light. And it's like, God, am I really supposed to be doing this? And the friends that heard the same exact sermons as you, and at camp they seem just as excited as you, And they felt the same conviction as you, but it's like, boy, if you were the one that made the decision and you go on and you're like, are we hearing the same thing? Why aren't you as fired up as me? How come you're not moving along the same way? And it's, you get home and there's not as much change as you'd hoped, and the conversations you had about youth group being different and about the movies they watched being different and about the influences in their life and about the friends they were going to drop being different when things got home, and they got home and things just kind of stayed the same. Same music in the cars and the same MP3 players and the same apps on the phone and same filth as before. It's like, boy, God, is this what you're talking about, tribulation? And I think that's what God is talking about. It's a little more subtle than the cancers and the deaths in the family and the divorce situations, but I'm talking about those types of tribulation for a young person that's trying to do right. It's going to be a subtle thing. It might just be loneliness. And you know, a young person or any Christian in those situations kind of needs to draw the sand and say, you know what, God, I choose to love you and not my friends. Jesus said comparatively, like, your love should be so strong for me that comparatively it's like hating your family. I'm like, me, it's that extreme of a love and devotion to me over family, me over friends, me over the tribulations in your life that are trying to hold you back. You say, this stops with me, and it starts anew with me. And so verse 3, not only so, our salvation gives us peace with God, it says in verse 1, and access to God. We can come right into his throne room. And we have hope in the glory of God, verse 2. But not only that, not only all those wonderful things about our salvation, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. I don't know if I ever thought of tribulations like a good thing. I don't know if I ever thought of loneliness like it was a good thing. I don't know if I ever thought of being the only one standing for Christ. And I'm not saying I am. I'm just using that as an example. I don't know if you ever thought of being the only one at your work, the only one at your school. And I don't know if I ever thought of people making fun of you for being a Christian to be a good thing. But it's like Paul is saying, look, we, because of our salvation, because we have something that we want to spread to everybody else, it's like we can get to the place where it's like, God, thank you for these tribulations. God, thank you for these tribulations. Thank you for giving so much to me. I can glory in those tribulations. Glory just means like rejoice in them. Same idea as the word boasting. Not bragging in an arrogant manner, but telling everybody about it. I can glory in my tribulations that God is using this to turn me into a better version of myself on the other side of these tribulations. That God is strengthening my resolve, that God is strengthening my heart for him, that as I draw the line and as I get knocked down but get back up, and as I keep on pressing through the struggles, not giving in to the struggles, but I'm talking about actually continuing in the struggle. God says, in that tribulation, you can glory. You can boast in that. Not in a braggadocious manner, but I'm talking about devoting glory to God for the tribulation he's brought into your life. Your tribulation can be a good thing. It can be something that works in you and makes you a better person. Because what's it say about tribulation? Look at the rest of verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. How do we see anything good about tribulation? Well, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Oh. So God, you're saying that as I draw a line and as I stand against the world, the flesh and the devil that's trying to beat me down day by day, if I continue the struggle, if I keep on pushing through the tribulation, if I keep on pushing through the thing that is attacking me, that God, you are like turning me into a more patient person, I better stop praying for patience. You're just going to keep giving me more tribulations. That's about right. Tribulation means steadfastness. This plotter mentality that it's like, boy, nothing is going to stop me. Nothing is going to stop me. It's almost like the big football player that takes on big old NFL linemen that takes on a whole team of little kids, you know. They can keep on piling on his back and they can keep on piling on his arms and piling on his legs. But it's just making him stronger, and he's dragging eventually the whole team who are linked onto each other and linked onto his arms. But it's just making him stronger, and it's just plodding on and just keeping on going and just keeping on pushing through and just keeping on going, and he's getting stronger. The patience means constancy, endurance. I'm running forward all the time. If you're into cross country, it's not about the sprints. It's not about the flash in the pan kids that can run as fast as they can and jump off the line and run, and then they're out of breath by the end of the line. Cross country is about this long distance endurance. In a super marathon, I went to Bible college with a guy who is a youth pastor in Liberal, Kansas now, took over for Brother Tyler Prater. He runs ultra marathons, 100-mile marathons, 100 miles. And boy, they are just constant running. They heard that people, for people study the Bible that say, look, we are just built for running. And there's tribes in Africa, you can see the documentaries of the people. They won't necessarily be fast runners and chase down their prey. They'll just start jogging. They'll find an antelope and they'll just spot an antelope and they can run about as fast as an antelope. But all they'll do is jog for 60, 70 miles until the antelope gets tired and just falls over on its side and they go up and stab the antelope. That's pretty good hunting right there. If you can jog, you can hunt. But I'm talking about that kind of endurance, that kind of long-distance running, that thing that builds patience in you, that says, look, I've drawn a line, and at first it used to be really hard to stand against the enemies in my life, to stand against the tribulation in my life, but after I've done it one or two times, the devil's knocked me over a few times, but I refuse to stay down, and I keep on getting up, and I keep on trying to serve God, and I keep on coming back to God and asking forgiveness and getting back on my knees and begging God, God, if you'll still use me, I want to still push on for you. And God, if you spoke to me in my heart, then God, I want to keep pressing on for you. And if I made a decision at camp, I know I've messed up twice and three times and five times and 100 times, but God, if you'll forgive me again, I want to keep serving you. And I'm talking about the struggle that maintains in your spirit. The first time you do it, it hurts, and it hurts your soul, and you say, God, how could I fail you? And you feel all these self-doubts, all these self-doubt think, these thoughts that invade your mind, and the devil's saying, stay down, you're a failure, you're no good. And God's grace says, no, I forgive you. Step back up and keep on going. And the first time you do it, you feel like a failure, and it's hard, and it's like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to stand against these tribulations in my life anymore. I don't think I could ever endure through this anymore. Then you do it one time and you get back up. And then another time the devil knocks you down and you get back up. And you learn a little bit more about your spirit. And you learn a little bit more about where the devil's trying to trip you up. And you learn a little bit more about the scripture, and you find that it's a shield of faith to you, and you find that it's a sword of the spirit, and you find that you can learn the scripture and quote scripture in those moments of your weakness and submit to those scriptures and say, God, I just want to yield to you. God, I've drawn a line in the sand and I want to be pleasing to you. And it's like God says, that's good, you're getting stronger. And in this area where you keep failing, you're getting a little bit stronger now and you don't fail quite as often anymore. And it's like God's trying to bring you through that struggle and make you into a more patient, a more steadfast, a more constant Christian. And the thing that you viewed as tribulation, the thing that you viewed as something that's bad and get this out of my life, God is in some way saying, look, I'm going to keep this in your life and it's going to make you into a better Christian. I want to strengthen you through this. And as you keep getting up and as you keep drawing closer to God, God says tribulation in your life is not a bad thing to avoid. Tribulation is something that you can actually glory in because it's making you patient. Tribulation worketh that endurance, that patience. and over I'm drawing that line. And then patience, the Bible says in verse 4, and patience, experience. The more patient that I am and constant I am, it's like, boy, I've been down this road before. And I've seen where the devil is coming this side, and I want to plug that hole now. I know he'll attack me from a different side next, but at least I'm getting experience here. And I'm getting sort of battle-hardened here. And I know where I'm going to fail, so I'm going to block that wall. And, you know, Bible standards are not always Bible rules, but they're just levels of experience that we say, this may not be a Bible rule, but I'm going to put up a wall and then another wall and another wall if need be, because experience tells me there's a lot of tribulation that comes. And we have dating rules, and we have rules for the youth group, and we have things that the Bible doesn't have a book, chapter, and verse on it. But there's been some wise men in years past who have a lot more experience than us, who have gone through a lot more tribulation than us, and have said, look, I've experienced this, and I've been patient in this because of the tribulation. So, hey, let's put a few rules in place to protect our young people's purity. And no, holding hands isn't against the Bible, and there's probably not too much that you'll find in there about kissing, and there's not about that. But man, when the preacher preaches about purity, and when the preacher preaches about something about guarding our hearts and putting standards in our lives, like putting fences around our lives, that, man, for the youth group, we have a no-touch policy. There's nothing hardly in Scripture about no-touch. I don't think it was that extreme, but it's like, boy, we want to be pretty extreme about this for the protection. Because experience tells us that when passions run wild, it brings a whole lot of tribulation, a whole lot of pain. And so we're going to protect that a little bit extra. And it's wise, I think, of us young people to look at those who have gone through life and to look at the aged ones. The Bible speaks of learning from the aged ones in the congregation and say, can you tell me how to live a better life? And through their experience, through their tribulations, being able to relate to you, I would recommend you don't do what I did. And we've had people in our youth group over and over, many, many times throughout the years, just trying to explain to the young people, don't be stupid like I was. And that's so good. And if a young person can draw a line and say, I'm getting stronger at this, I'm getting more experienced at this, it's becoming a part of my character, then the Bible says patience, experience in verse 4, and experience, hope. Man, when I'm getting beat down by the tribulations, it feels like I'm kind of hopeless. There's no way I'll be able to get through this. But I trust God. And if he says by faith I should draw a line and I should stay in the struggle and I should stay pushing toward God, then maybe God will give me a little patience through this and I'll get a little stronger. And then maybe as I grow in patience, I'll get a little bit more experience. And as you face the same situation over and over and you're trying by the Spirit's power to control those agags, those sins in your life, then once you push through some of those, it's almost like there's this light at the end of the tunnel. It's like where once you thought you were going to be destroyed by this for your whole life, it's like I'm a little more experienced now and I can see I'm not as tripped up by it as I used to be. And now there's light at the end of the tunnel. I'm so happy that there's hope. There's something I can live for now. It's not just avoiding the tribulation. But boy, there's hope of something bigger than me, and I can do it again, and I can, in another area where the devil tries to attack, it's like, I know that if I have hope in this area, I can have hope in this other area in life too. And through different seasons you go through in your life, you're attacked in different ways, and you go through different tribulations, but God is saying, look, don't run from those tribulations, embrace them, and glory in them, and use them, allow God to use them to eventually work hope in you. Hope maketh not ashamed. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This hope the world is seeking for, they have no answers, but God says, look, this is the hope that God wants to shed abroad. He wants to overflow in abundance in your heart. God's love is there to back it all up. Tribulations are no big deal for God. The trials in your life are no big deal for God, big or small. Says, I want to use them to help you love me more. So tribulations are going to come, young people. Tribulations are going to come through your family, through your parents, through school. through work, through ungodly friends. It's like, what is your response? In some ways, you need to come to Sunday night service and say, look, I've drawn a line. At camp, I've drawn a line, and this is where it ends. This is where this stops, and if I get knocked down, I want to get back up. I want to get that spiritual muscle strengthened so that one day I can have hope to overcome this and the hope of Jesus Christ to take this from me for good. God, I choose your way. This seems to be the best result that we can have. Loving God, that's where it is right there. Stand if you would, please. That's just a simple thought of the night. Let's sing 611. We have an invitation.